This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to Triple Captain. My name's Rich, TalkSport commentator, and I'm joined, as I am every week, by my top 10K finishing colleague, Mr. Luke Jurdy. How you doing, mate?
Very well, thanks, Rich. How are you?
Good.
You are on top of the world.
Pretty smug, I'm not gonna
you
lie.
Are on top of the world. Tell the listeners your score for this week.
So obviously this was the week that followed my wild card. So it was the bench boost week. And what was the average this week?
40-something.
44 points was the average. I scored 103.
Yes!
So,
yes!
Out of, what was it, 7.5 million players. Hang on.
Yeah, what was your game week rank?
See how you finished in the game week.
Yeah.
Let's have a look. So my game week rank was 3,632.
Wow.
Absolutely smashed it out of 7.5 million. But honestly, I could not believe it, because I was like listening to the Man United game, and I heard that Martial had won a penalty and wasn't given the assist for some reason, so I was fuming about that. But then Rashford scored the penalty, and then Martial scored, which Greenwood assisted, Fernandes assisted, and then Fernandes got his goal. And it just carried on going. Then Willian scored. And then Giroud scored. Saka scored. I just couldn't believe what was going on. And like Martinez got a clean sheet. Van Dijk and TAA got clean sheets as well. And I was like, I'm never going to have a week like this ever again in my life. So yeah, 103 points I finished on. And it's by far and away my best game week of the season. So I've flown up in the overall ranks to 84K from like 195.
Excellent.
So I'm in the top 100K, which is the end of season goal. So we're getting there. So how did you get on?
Yeah, that is brilliant work, mate. I think we should talk about that for just a little bit longer. I think always fantastic as well when you if you get a big score like that, and it's not a typical week for big scores, you know. You nailed it. I feel like I've done everything just a week too late. You know, I've just played the wild card and playing bench boost this week. Whereas if I played it, playing it next week, was if I played it this week. But yeah. then I would have picked different players to you. So yeah, everything went.
Yeah, it's true.
Went right for you, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I got quite lucky because I was so close to putting the captain's armband on De Bruyne, because we were talking about how like important he's going to be, and then he didn't even start for Manchester City. But yeah, put the captain armband on Anthony Martial. Shouted him out on Radio X. I was like, I've just had such a great week. I've just got a dedicated fat boy slim praise you to Anthony Martial. Just because I thought it was appropriate and I couldn't not mention it on the radio show. So yeah, it's gone pretty well. Every United asset delivered. My two Chelsea assets, I couldn't have picked any better for the Chelsea assets, with Giroud and Willian scoring, and then Saka scoring. Like, I mean, that was an absolute fluke. I'm not going to lie. He was brought in because he was like £4.6 million, but he scored a pretty decent goal, and I think he just signed a new contract as well. So I think he was obviously on quite a high, and that was reflected in his performance. And then Martinez with a clean sheet as well, just to add to the points. But yeah, pretty happy, I'm not going to lie.
Fantastic. Yeah, I mean, just over 100K rise in one game week. That's what can happen in one week. So, which we always say, you know, yeah, you can have a few bad weeks and then one good week gets you right back up there. So excellent stuff.
I don't know. I mean, I could well finish with 15 on the next game week. So, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What's gonna
happen. So can we get all three of us into the top 100K by the end of the season? So I played my wild card this week, and I think I ended on 65. So I got a small green arrow, thankfully. If Salah had done better, I would have got a big green, because I was on a green with Salah captain left to play. And obviously just Liverpool just didn't really look at it, did they? Particularly in that first half. Didn't have a lot of chances. Disappointing when they've done so well all season, and then you put the armband on Salah after, you know, I had Fernandes, had Greenwood, but didn't captain them. And I think it was one of those weeks where I still feel quite lucky to get the green arrow because of United doing so well, and a lot of people have gone triple United attack, whereas I decided to go for Wan-Bissaka at the back, along with Fernandes and Greenwood, mainly because I don't think there's going to be... I mean, that's the first time United have scored 5 goals at home since kind of 2011, I think. And it was against possibly the worst team in the league right now. So I don't expect that to continue in terms of all three.
Yeah.
You know, if you had Rashford, Fernandes, Martial, Greenwood, all of them delivered this week. So I can't imagine that happening every game week for the rest of the season.
I mean, was that your mindset when you messaged us the other day saying, what was it you said? Something along the lines of, Man United are back,
yes,
baby.
I mean,
or something like that.
Come on. I mean, we're the best team in the league right now in terms of form.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely smashing teams aside. I mean, there was a time, you know, earlier this season, if we went 1-0 down to Bournemouth, I'd be really, really scared that we were going to lose the game. And we went 1-0 down, and I just thought, this isn't going to be a problem at all. And by half time, it was 3-1. Because I just attacking wise, I mean, obviously, again, Bournemouth are the worst team, and I'd be interested to talk about them going forward in a minute. But yeah, United looks so good. I mean, you have to have three of them at the moment, and I really wouldn't be against three in attack either. I mean, what I'd also like to talk about today is how much VAR has affected FPL scores, because I mean, there was a couple of decisions there which could have made a big difference. I mean, the Bailly handball, which I don't think was a handball, and I think most people agree, which wouldn't have been a penalty. So Wan-Bissaka would have got 2 points instead of one, which, you know, is only a tiny difference, but it made a difference to my score. And also the Rashford offside, which Wan-Bissaka would have got an assist for. So if both of those things had happened, that'd have been an extra, you know, 4 points for me this game week, and probably into the top 100K. But as it is, I'm at 105K, so I've risen up by about 10,000 places this week. But I'm playing bench boost next week, so surely to God, that means I'll be top 100K by the end of next week.
So where did your points come from this week then, your big hitters?
In the end, I kept Pope in goal, who was close to that clean sheet, but obviously Sheffield United scored in the end. I got Johnny, Wan-Bissaka and Robertson at the back. Robertson got five, but Wan-Bissaka and Johnny got one each. Then midfield was where the most of the points came from. Got Bruno Fernandes, Antonio of West Ham I put in, and he's 0.8% owned, so his goal was a real positive for me. That was great. Pulisic got an assist. I think going forward, Pulisic looks a great choice. I mean, I'm a little jealous of the Willian choice because he's scoring more points, but I think Pulisic looks good. So he got six. Yeah, Salah captain with 12, and yeah, it was De Bruyne with the one, which was a bit disappointing. And then I've got Jimenez, who got two, and Greenwood, who got 13. But my bench looks
great.
My bench boost looks really good, really strong for next week. I've got Ben Foster, Luca Dean, Danny Ings, and Roman Saiss as well. So I think all of those players, Watford are playing Norwich, so I'm hoping for a clean sheet. Norwich haven't scored since we went back from lockdown, so hoping for a clean sheet from him.
God,
So I'm looking forward to the bench boost. A little apprehensive because, of course, you know, only on a single game week, everything can go wrong, can't it? But obviously, everything went right for you this week, so I'm hoping for a big, you know, 80 plus points. I'll be pretty happy with, I think.
Yeah, absolutely, and that like bench boost as well. Like the defensive options are pretty attacking.
Yes,
defensive options as well, aren't they? Like Saiss gets forward, Dean likes a set piece, that sort of thing as well. Like, you know, you've got options in there to get some points from your defence for an attack and return as
Fingers
well.
Fingers crossed, yeah. And what about you, Ben? Are we close? Are you close to the top 100K?
Well, I have to say, producing this podcast is keeping me in there because I can't believe we're recording again already. Like, we recorded, what, was it Thursday night?
God.
And now it's Monday morning.
It's ridiculous.
Like, honestly, it's so hard keeping up with it. But yeah, I've got to 251,000. I got a green arrow to 251,000 this week, which I was chuffed about. Because I've got 74
Brilliant.
Points this game week. I need to ask you guys about defenders today because I'm really happy. Greenwood, I bought him in last week. I just had a feeling. Like, having seen, we talked about how that United team looked like it was going to be the starting lineup. Mm. And he was just so good. And I just knew that he was going to come and fly in. And so, yeah, chuffed to bring him in. Rashford got me 6 points. Fernandes, I put the captain's armband on him. I actually woke up on Saturday morning and the first thing I did, I must have been dreaming about it, was that I went onto my app and pressed triple captain. And then I saw that stuff about Fernandes maybe being injured in training or whatever. And so that's why I took off the triple captain. But, you know, still, yeah. But he's still got 30 points from him. And I still got that in the bag. I like keeping that for, like, the last kind of last two games.
Do you reckon that Fernandez news was just deliberately done for FPL? It must have been. I can't think of any other reason. Like, why would there be mind games against Bournemouth? That's definitely not a thing. I reckon that was 100% for, like, the editor wanted, like, a good week in his FPL team.
100%. Yeah, weird, wasn't it, that news? I mean, particularly, Daily Mirror and, like, what do you mean Fernandes and Pogba clashed at Trent? I mean, how appropriate. Like, you just really, really badly want to get Pogba in the news at every available opportunity, don't they? They probably blamed it on him if it was injured, if Fernandes was injured. It
must have been an FPL decision, I'm telling you.
You know, 74 points, but I've still got Son to play this evening. So, you know, it could get even better. And I think hopefully who are they playing? Everton Hall. So at Tottenham, isn't it? So.
And we've got history with Son as well, because he was the one who broke Gomez's ankle leg or whatever it was earlier in the season. So.
But yeah, so I'm feeling good about that. I think, I made a stupid decision a couple of weeks ago to bring in Alonso for Chelsea. I don't know why. I can't remember who I took out. But I decided to bring in Alonso for Kyle Walker. That was it. Because Kyle Walker was, you know, getting rotated quite a lot. So I bought in Alonso from Chelsea because I thought they had quite good fixtures. And last week he got me 1 point. This week he didn't even play. And so I haven't got anyone to come off the bench either, because both Matt Target and Lundstrom are injured with red triangles. So my defence is, and apart from Egan, who's absolutely saved the day with that goal and has some bonus points. Alonso on a zero. Saiss from Wolves on a zero. Patricio on one. So, like, I need some defending tips today, because I'm quite happy with the attacking line. But, yeah, defensively, rubbish.
And to be honest, Ben, I don't think it was a bad choice putting Alonso in. His attacking stats were good. He always gets forward. He always looks good for a goal. And Chelsea had good fixtures, but they were struggling to keep clean sheets, weren't they? And then, obviously, Lampard can rotate him for that. For Reece James, who's quite an exciting addition. So I don't think it was a bad choice. But yeah, just sometimes they just don't work out, do they, as you planned? I mean, Azpilicueta this week got 12. So, you know, if you'd have picked...
Yeah.
You know, and I was, you know what? And I was looking at... I was just trying to decide between the two of them. And it's annoying, isn't it? Like, I feel like that has been... I know everyone has those game weeks, but I do feel a bit hard done by my FPL since the whole wasted wildcard.
Yeah, honestly.
I feel a little bit hard done.
You know, what it was for you was the John Lundstrom weekend. Remember that? Where he was due to come on. No, he was in he was on your bench, wasn't he? And then...
And then he brought on Otamendi for literally... Lundstrom went on and scored two and got an assist. Or did he score on a hat-trick? I can't remember. But then, so he had like 20-something points ready to come on. And Pep brought on Otamendi on the 90th minute for no
That was
reason.
The start of it. That's the start of it all. Honestly, out of us three, anyway. I've got to say, you've definitely had the worst luck.
In terms of talking points then, I would like to raise defenders between now and the end. Because, you know, we said last week, goals, goals, goals. And I think that's going to happen now between now and the end of the season. Like, people are, like, you look at United, it's the results that are coming in. Arsenal are scoring again. I think goals, goals, goals until the end of the season. But therefore, what do you do with your defence is what I want to ask. Like, do you just keep them cheap and cheerful because no one's going to keep any clean sheets? But that's the talking point I'd like to
see. Yeah, good talking point. I think defenders, I'd like to talk about... do you focus on fixtures or form or a bit of both, which will be a nice lead on from your talk about Son, because I'm thinking about bringing in him for their next fixture against Bournemouth. That's what I want to talk about. And maybe a little bit of how much luck has increased because of VAR this season, if we've got time. What about you, Rich?
I want to talk more about my great week, please, if that's okay.
Triple Captain from Sound Rebel. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review to help more people discover us.
Should we start by talking about defenders then? I mean, for me, for the rest of the season, I think I'm just going to play three at the back. Like, I don't think I want to stock up on defenders. Like you say, I think this is the time of the season where, you know, a lot of teams are safe now and don't have a lot to play for. So they'll play like their comfortable football. Like, we've seen Southampton yesterday beating Manchester City, you know, they're safe. So they were just pretty comfortable just playing against Manchester City, who just looked pretty average. Like, De Bruyne couldn't make a pass when he came on. The back four just looked proper wobbly. But yeah, I think for defenders, I think I'm just going to stick with Van Dijk and TAA for the rest of the season. And if I can afford him every week, I'm going to keep Doherty in there as well, because more often than not, he's going to get like either a defensive bonus or an attacking bonus. So yeah, I think I'm just going to stick with Liverpool and Wolves defenders, because Liverpool have been solid all season, so why would you change any of that? TAA, always worth a goal from a free kick. Van Dijk, always worth a goal from a corner. And, you know, defensively, they're very likely to get bonus points. So, yeah, I'd just stock up on as many Liverpool defenders if I was you, Ben, to be honest. You got any in now?
No, I haven't actually. I've only got one Liverpool player, and that's Mane.
All right, okay. Yeah, man, I'd definitely go TAA.
Yeah, I suppose it's whether you're making a decision whether to downgrade at the back and go for cheap options in the hope of a few clean sheets, or attack-minded defenders like TAA, you know, Robertson, Doherty, Luca Dean perhaps could have a strong end to the season. So it's whether it's, I mean, I always tend to have a mix, and at the moment I've got a mix. I've got Robertson, Dean. It mainly went for Robertson over TAA just to, for the money, for the money saving option. Mm. And also he's actually created more chances than TAA in the last few games. But obviously he hasn't got he's not on the free kicks, and he hasn't got the goal scoring threat of TAA.
Yeah.
So it's a risk for me. But if Robbo scores higher than TAA, it's a nice rank boost because he's so low owned because everyone's got TAA. But if TAA scores high, it's a bit of a rank killer. So it's always that.
Yeah.
It's that tricky thing.
I think out of the... Because I think Milner's injured at the moment for Liverpool, isn't he? And he's only really the other player they play in at left back. So, whilst Milner's out, I can't see Robertson being rotated out. Whereas at right back, I think Liverpool got a few more options. Like, I know he plays Gomez there a few times, and they've got that young lad who plays
Williams, yeah.
I think plays at right back as well. So I think Trent is definitely a higher risk of being dropped. So Robertson could definitely be the safer option. But like you say, TAA is definitely more likely to get a goal than Andy Robertson.
Who are you looking to take out, Ben?
So at the moment I've got injuries. So I've got Target and Lundstrom both injured on the bench.
Okay. How much
Target should be back.
How much is that in value?
But I mean, nothing. 4.3 and 4.7. I suppose it's taking out Alonso really at 6.2. And who do I look to replace Alonso with if he's not going to? Because their fixtures now got Crystal Palace, Sheffield United, Norwich. Oh, you know what? There's potential there for Chelsea to keep some clean sheets.
I'd be tempted to keep Alonso and take Lundstrom out for somebody that is going to be a strong bench option to come on for Alonso if he doesn't play.
In terms of like for like, Lundstrom is 4.7, so I could get Justin from Leicester, Zuma from Chelsea as it literally straight swap. Fernandes from Newcastle, I'm not sure about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, where is Justin?
Leicester looked good against Palace, clean sheet, and actually scored some goals.
I mean, I don't think Zuma starts for Chelsea at the moment, so I would stay away from Zuma. I think they're doing Christensen and, what's his name, Rudiger at the moment, so I wouldn't gamble on
Zuma. He started against Watford.
Oh, did he?
This week he started against Watford, okay. But then, yeah, you're right, he hasn't played... He didn't play against Villa, Man City, or West Ham before that. So you'd say Chelsea defenders, Leicester defenders.
You got to look at who's going to keep clean sheets. I mean, in terms of clean sheets, you've got United, Wolves. Although they both conceded at the weekend, I think United's was a bit of a blip. And Wolves were playing Arsenal, and I think Wolves was a bit of a blip as well. They both have been really solid defensively. I've got double Wolves defence still because despite quite difficult fixtures, they're still one of the best teams defensively in the league, and they're going for Europe.
Yeah.
I mean, Wolves have to be solid at the back because they don't score enough goals going forward. And I mean, maybe, you know, possibly even you've got John Egan as well, haven't you, Ben, which is good because most people are off Sheffield United defenders now, and they, mind you, they didn't keep a clean sheet again, did they, against Burnley? So perhaps not the best option with their fixtures.
Yeah. I mean, he's been in and out of my team all season, but I think for the rest of this campaign, Gomez at Liverpool is probably going to be a starter because Matip is out for the rest of the year.
Right.
And he's only coming in at 5.3, which is, you know, a fair bit, but for a team who are top of the league and is pretty much going to start every game for the rest of the season, you know, he's probably going to get you quite a few clean sheets, Joe Gomez.
Just before we move on, what about Serge Aurier? Any love for Serge Aurier at Spurs? 5 million, gets forward a lot.
I just don't trust Tottenham to get clean sheets. There's just something about them. Like when Mourinho was at United, like they were pretty solid at the back. I mean, they were pretty boring to watch going forward, but they were pretty solid at the back. But at Tottenham, they don't seem to be solid at the back or great going forward. But I think he's doing all right for points. But like you say, Aurier likes to get forward, likes to put a ball in the box. But again, with Aurier, you've always got that red card risk. He's not been sent off in a while. But he could be an option. Is he highly owned?
I don't think he's highly owned. I know that quite a few in the Twitter community have got him in because of his chances of attacking returns. And obviously, yeah, Spurs aren't that reliable for a clean sheet, but for 5 million, he's quite a good option. And I think his heat map was quite similar to Son's, actually, getting forward in terms of his positions and stuff. So he might be worth looking at, Ben, particularly because, which will move us on nicely to our next talking point, particularly because Spurs have got Bournemouth next.
Follow Triple Captain on Twitter and Instagram at Triple Captain 3.
Now, what do you do for the remainder of the season? Do you stick with the players that are in banging form, scoring points, no matter what fixture they've got, like, you know, De Bruyne, Salah, Fernandes, or do you target teams that are playing the teams at the bottom end of the table that just are not doing well? Do you target teams that are playing Norwich? Do you target teams that are playing Bournemouth? Stick the captain's armband on them for that weekend and hope that the dismal form continues. What's your kind of tactic going forward? Because, I mean, what I'm tempted to do this week, so I haven't got any Spurs players, I'm tempted to drop Salah for the reasons that we spoke about earlier, really, that Liverpool don't look at it as much as they did. Bring in Son, who has good attacking stats, and they're playing Bournemouth. Captain Son, and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, for me, for this game week, I've gone for players who are playing against teams down the bottom of the league. Like, I've got Van Dijk and TAA playing Brighton. Like you say, the United options playing Villa. I brought in Kane this week, who's playing Bournemouth. So I don't know. I think you've got to get a good balance of it, to be honest. I think with like attacking players, like, I don't think you should ever take out a striker who's in form. So if you've got Vardy in and you were thinking of taking him out before this game week, I'd definitely leave him in now, like 100%. And I brought in Greenwood as well for Rashford, just because of just for a money thing. But someone go in the loo in your house there?
No, just pouring a coffee.
I think getting a balance is the main thing.
So a balance of in-form and players that have got good fixtures.
Yeah, I mean, if you're picking any... Who have Norwich got this weekend?
They've got Watford.
Watford. Mm. Yeah, I mean, Norwich just look absolutely... Yeah,
that's why I put Foster in as my as my other keeper for the bench boost, because I thought they're playing Norwich and Norwich haven't scored. Yeah, I agree. I think you've got to target a mixture. Like, you're not gonna take De Bruyne out because he's playing against Liverpool or you know.
Nah.
But at the same time, what do you two think about that move? Because I can only get to Son in one move, and that's either by taking Salah out or De Bruyne out. De Bruyne plays Newcastle, Salah plays Brighton, Son plays Bournemouth. And you know what Son's like as well. Son his attacking stats are always good, and then he just has a game where he just bangs.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
He does. I mean, it's a tough one. I mean, Salah for the rest of the season, you know, God knows what's going to happen there. Like you say, you said last week he's going for the golden boot. But I don't know. It's such a tough call. But I mean, taking out De Bruyne is so much more of a risk because that can be like an absolute rank killer. Whereas Salah, I don't think as much, even though he's still pretty highly owned, but not as highly owned as Kevin De Bruyne. And obviously, you'd be able to reinvest that money elsewhere that you're saving from getting rid of Salah. So I'd keep De Bruyne if I was you.
Triple Captain from Sound Rebel. Get in touch on email triplecaptain@soundrebel.co.uk.
Just finally, quickly, it stung me a little bit this week, and I think it did other FPL managers as well, particularly players that captained Marcus Rashford. How much has VAR had an effect on luck this season in terms of FPL?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously had an impact, but it was always going to have an impact in it. But at the end of the day, 99% of the time, it's coming to the right decision. So I don't think you can really complain about bad luck that much. All right, compared to previous seasons, you can call it bad luck. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's the right decision that's getting reached most of the time, I'd say.
I mean, I would argue that particularly with these offsides, I mean, I would argue that the Rashford goal wasn't offside. Yeah. In my interpretation of the rule, his foot was behind the line. The other player's arm was over the line. I mean, maybe I don't even know the rules, but in terms of like looking at it, that would never have been, if VAR wasn't there and it was given onside and Rashford had scored and then the commentators would look back at the replay like they used to do. They'd be like, yep, correct decision. He was onside. So there's a complete misinterpretation of the rules here, and particularly the Bailly handball as well was absolutely ridiculous. It hit his shoulder. And I mean, I know they're changing the rule next year that it has to be below the T-shirt if you handball it below the shirt, which is good, a welcome change. But I just think you know, in terms of FPL, I think there's been so many goals like that this season where the margins for offside have been just down to like camera angles.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think the main thing for offside that would make it a lot easier for me was just if any part of the footballer counted as offside, because like you say on the arm, like it's so hard to say. Like we've seen like this season where like an armpit has been offside or something like that, and you're like, an armpit, that counts as offside.
Firmino's armpit. Do you remember Firmino? I brought him in and he didn't do anything for ages and he scored that absolute stunner, but his armpit.
Yeah, there you go. And that's
fuming. I was furious.
I think to me that just brings in a bigger element of luck to FPL. So I think on the one hand, that's frustrating. But on the other hand, if you have a bad week and it's because of something like that, you can just go, well, you know what? I mean, what could I have done there? It's just bad luck. So it can work both ways, can't it? It can either make you feel better or make you feel terrible. But I just think they've got to do something about particularly the offside thing. And what is this clear and obvious? Because the offsides are never clear and obvious, but they're the only things that you actually look at, like to the extent that you're looking at. I mean, they took about 3 minutes to check if Matic was offside when Bruno Fernandes scored that free kick. Matic was nowhere near the ball. Like what the hell?
Yeah,
like, it's just.
It is a joke. It's the way that everything is at the moment. I can see why everyone's absolutely raging at it. Like VAR in Germany, like there's not really any kind of issue with it. And the main thing in Germany they do different to what we do here is that the referee goes over to a screen and watches it himself. And that would,
which is
and
great.
We have that facility in the Premier League, but they don't use it.
That's what should be, because they did that in the World Cup they were doing that. Was that the first time they introduced it? And it works so well. Like, absolutely, of course that's the way that you should do it. Don't go to some bloody guy in a bunker miles away.
I know.
Like, how about the guy who's there? And like, he's ultimately in charge, isn't he, the referee?
Yeah.
So let him be in charge. You're right, that's what they need to do next season. In fact, let's get a change.org.
Particularly with fouls. With fouls in the box, that's the one where the ref just needs to go over to the monitor. I mean, remember early on in the season, just no penalties were being given because they just wouldn't overturn anything, even if it was just an obvious foul. Like, it's just crazy. Yeah. Like, there's been quite a few times where I've seen fouls and I'm like, that's a penalty. But the ref won't go over and look at the monitor. They just rely on people going, doing a quick check. And yeah, it's just, it's very frustrating in that respect. But, you know, let's hope they change it.
I mean, if you're in FPL terms, like if you're feeling bad luck because you're not getting an attack in return, on the other side of the coin, you know, people are getting a bonus for a defensive return because, you know, they might have kept a clean sheet in that game because that offside call was correct by an inch. So, you know, it does go the other way. Not that people are looking out for defensive returns in FPL, really.
I think
and as a United fan,
you still got five. But I mean, it was the Wan-Bissaka thing that annoyed me. And I think, by the way, I think he could be a really good choice next season, particularly if he stays at 5.5 million and they don't move him up anymore. I think Wan-Bissaka could be a great choice. It would have been his third assist in three games if that goal had stood. He's getting so much further forward than he was before lockdown. I think either like Ole's had a word with him or Bruno Fernandes has encouraged him. I mean, Bruno Fernandes seems to just be orchestrating the whole team. So maybe he's had a word with him to get forward more, but he looks much more attacking. And I think if he continues to improve his final ball, he could be a really good option.
Because we know how great he is with his defensive stats, but it is that final ball in it, which is always tends to be the downfall of attacking fullbacks. And what I like about him going forward is he looks like Bambi on ice. Like he's not graceful, looks like Ronaldo doing step overs is beautiful. It's like art. Wan-Bissaka's literally just Bambi on ice. Can't stand up. But it's great to see that he's getting that far forward, though.
And how much is Mason Greenwood going to be next season?
Oh, yeah, he's going to be an increase.
I mean, his finishing is 100%. Absolutely unreal. I mean, in terms of, like, the way I look at stats and stuff, I always look for, like, number of shots and number of shots in the box and number of shots on target, etc. But Greenwood chucks all that out the window because he only needs two chances and he'll score two goals. He's just so clinical with his finishing. Yeah, like it reminds me of Robin van Persie, the way he strikes the ball. Really exciting.
I mean, I was about to say it reminds me of Van Nistelrooy, but a little bit kind of like bulkier. Like he just seems to be like in the right place at the right time, and that's the sort of thing that you just can't teach. I think United have got a proper asset on their hands there for sure. He's coming into my fantasy team this week.
Yeah, I was listening to TalkSport because I was listening to the game rather than watching it, and they were saying he saved United £75 million.
Yeah, honestly, they have.
Greenwood, and it's true. He's 18 years old. Because if you think about it, who was it? Sancho, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a lot of money, but actually, could Greenwood fit in that? I reckon he's going to be starting.
Yeah, we just need depth. We need depth. Like, we just need a good backup for him, you know. We don't need Lingard or Mata. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I think Ole...
It's all right. Grealish is on his way, mate. Grealish is on his way. He's bought his
house. Yeah, I heard about this. Yeah. I mean, do we need him now? I don't think we do. Don't think we need Grealish. No, but what United need is just that depth. You know, we don't, as soon as Fernandes and Pogba are off the pitch, we don't do anything. So it's like you've got to have players that are better than Lingard and Mata and Pereira to come on. But you're absolutely right. I think Ole should stick with Rashford, Martial and Greenwood have scored three more goals than Mane, Salah and Firmino this season in all competitions. So that's incredible. So therefore, you've got to stick with those three. I don't think we need a Jadon Sancho necessarily, but we need someone solid to come in for Greenwood and trust him to start.
Yeah, I mean, Willian's on a free, isn't he? Do you reckon United could be in for Willian, or do you reckon he's probably going?
It wouldn't be a bad option, but I don't think... would he be content to sit on the bench? Perhaps he would, I don't know. But I think William would be a great option as a backup.
Triple Captain from Sound Rebel. Please subscribe to this podcast so you never miss an episode.
All right, so that pretty much brings us to the end. Who are you bringing in this week then, Luke? And who are you putting the big C on?
I think I'm pretty set on getting rid of Salah this week for my bench boost and bringing in Son, purely just to target that Bournemouth fixture. I'd be interested in Kane as well, but I can't get to him without a -4. So I think it's going to be Son in for Salah, which will leave me some nice money in the bank to spend elsewhere in future weeks. And at the moment, captain will either be Bruno Fernandes, Kevin De Bruyne or Son. I haven't decided.
Three big hitting options.
I think De Bruyne could be a great option because he was benched. So you know he's going to start against Newcastle. And normally when City lose a game like that, they fire back big time, don't they? So I think he could be a good option. But undecided on captain. What about you?
I got a little bit too excited when I was riding my wave of 103 points. And I made my transfers. I got too excited and completely forgot that Kane hadn't played yet. So I brought in Kane already and he could easily get a knock or something tonight. No, and Kane's injury history this season, God knows he could well get it and be missing for the next game week. Brought in Harry Kane, and I have also brought in Greenwood. So two players who are both.
Who did you take out
this season? I took out Rashford at United, not because he's not been bad, but I just think Greenwood's going to be more centrally focused down the middle, isn't he, than Rashford? Because he starts out wide, am I right in saying?
They both start out wide, but I think at the moment, for the price difference, why not have Greenwood in?
Yeah, absolutely. And who else did I get rid of? And I got rid of Giroud. And he scored as well, but I just thought, like you say, Kane for Bournemouth, it just seems like the right thing to do at this time. And I think Kane's going to try and get as many goals as he can because this season has been a blip on his usually brilliant goal scoring record. And the captain's armband, it's so hard to decide, but it's probably... I might keep it on Martial again for 2 weeks on the trot and then I'll dedicate another Fat Boy Slim tune to him and see what happens.
Nice. What about you, Ben?
Captain is undoubtedly on Son against Bournemouth because Bournemouth look dreadful. So, yeah.
Great stuff. Good luck, everybody, for the for the next game week, and hopefully we can make a all-out assault on that top 100k. I mean, Rich can get top 10k now, I think.
Come on. I'm aiming for top 3k.
Come on the bench boost. Come on the bench boost.
Before we go, can I say a big thank you to Adam Wilborn, who's left us a very nice review on Apple Podcasts. If you've got a couple of minutes, leave us a review. He said, the best fantasy football podcast out there. 5 stars. this pod is a must for any dedicated fantasy football
fan. Yes, Adam.
Genuinely insightful analysis combined with great chat. Without the tips from the boys on a Saturday morning, I'd be nowhere in my
family. Oh, well, look at that review.
Yeah, if you've got a couple of minutes, please do leave us a review if you've got an iPhone, because it just helps us boost up the charts and makes Apple take us seriously. So we really appreciate it.
All right, good luck for game week 34 plus.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like Yesterday Today with Dan and Katie.
Right, guys, production meeting. Sorry, I know you do want to carry on with your days, but we need to make a promo.
About the podcast?
Yeah, about the podcast.
Okay, well, it's a podcast. Yeah. We make it. Go listen to it. See ya. That's what like that.
Well, no, but... No.
Hi, this is Dan, Katie and Posh Ben, and this is our promo for our show. I forgot the show. Yeah. Yesterday Today with Dan, Katie and Posh Ben.
I reckon that's the one,
that's terrible.
Hello, this is Dan and Katie, and this is our podcast called Yesterday Today.
Where we see what's been going on in the world yesterday, and we talk about it today.
We also need to do the subscribe and share. Yeah.
Subscribe.
Review.
Share.
When you said share, I thought of actual share.
Actual share.
Anyway, this is Yesterday Today with Dan and Katie. Yeah. Search for us now on your chosen podcast app.
Yeah.
We'll get something slick out of that.
All right. Yeah.
Yesterday Today with Dan and Katie. Listen now on your chosen podcast app.